You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. You need to know, if this is your first visit here to The Kevin Smith Show, that we have a free weekly newsletter, and you've got time to subscribe in time to get this week's edition. All you have to do is go over to kevinsmithshow.com. At kevinsmithshow.com, you're going to see a little button, a little ad that says K-Files E-Zine. It's in red letters. Click on that and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we never loan or lease or rent or in any other way share our email list with anybody, so you're not going to be spammed as a result of subscribing. I want to remind everyone about the chat on Saturday night. Now, this past Saturday night, last week, I was in tech hell. I descended into tech hell trying to get all of our video stuff set up. And, I mean, it's one thing to set it up. It's another thing to get it all coordinated so that it sort of works. And I had discussions last night after the show with Jerry Wills about some things we can do even yet to make it better than it is, and we're going to try that. However, I was not able to log in to chat. I couldn't even get the chat page to open, and there were some. I couldn't get Google to open either, so I don't know what the deal was. But I'll be in the chat room for the members for our monthly chat on this Saturday night. All right. So this is the Thursday show, so just 2 days from now, Saturday night, I'll be in the chat room, and I'll just hang out with you, okay? And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's not quite like calling into the show. It's more of a sort of a free, open, rock and rolling kind of a chat. So whatever it is that's on your mind, we will discuss. One of the things that you need to know about is pretty weird and pretty interesting. You know what DARPA is, right? And it's the Defense Advanced Research Agency. And they and the Army Research Office have granted a contract to a company called iRobot. This company has developed robots for the Army, for the military, before, but what they want is a robot that can change its shape and size to wiggle into very small areas for gaining entrance into areas that are otherwise closed. Kind of has, you know, sort of shades of the Terminator, doesn't it? But these apparently are going to be very small robots. Not the liquid metal style that we saw in the Terminator, but It is a reality. It is coming. Robots that can change their size in order to wiggle into small spaces and gain entry to buildings. We'll be back. My guest this evening is Major George Filer. A lot of you are subscribers to Filer's Files. Well, he's with us this evening, and he is an interesting guy. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. And we are back. My guest, as I said, is George Filer. It is his first time to be with us on this show, and I am delighted that he is with us. Let me tell you just briefly a little bit about him. He is Major George Filer, retired. He was in the U.S. Air Force from 1958 till 1978. His resume contains so much stuff, so many honors and titles and positions, high positions, that what I've done is I've just put a link next to his picture. There are two links. One of them is to his website, and the other is to his resume. And you can just click on that and see for yourself. I think the rank major is very apropos. George Filer, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Kevin.
I've been reading your publication called Filer's Files for a number of years. And I first became aware through one of our listeners. I was still serving overseas, and one of our listeners forwarded a one edition of the Filer's Files, and I commented that I liked it, and he continues to forward it. And but this is for a number of years now. This has been going. I've been reading the Filer's files. I think it's been about 6 years. How long have you been publishing?
Well, 10 and a half years.
10 and a half years. Now you you were a military intelligence officer.
Right.
You were in the U.S. Air Force. You were a pilot. How in the world does someone like that? I'm sorry. How does someone with a background like that become interested in UFOs?
Well, we were flying tanker aircraft over England, and we were losing some fighters because you may be aware of it, but the sun goes down and the fog rolls in England frequently. And the planes didn't have enough fuel to make it to Germany or, you know, Spain, to the alternates. So they put the tanker up in the sky each night, and we used to call it to put the fighters to bed. And since we were up there and we had lots of fuel and, you know, like 15 hours of fuel on board, and we could fly almost as fast as the fighters, London Control started asking us, would we investigate the UFOs. In our squadron, once a week or so, somebody would get to chase a UFO over England, and when you got near them, frankly, they would usually fly away, and we weren't armed. There's a whole history of, you know, trying to shoot them down, which was not successful. And one night, we got a call and asked us if we would go to the center of England near the Stonehenge, Oxford area, and intercept a UFO. And we were flying about 35,000 feet doing refuelings, and we just finished with the last fighter. And so we said, sure, we'd, you know, be happy to go and see what this UFO situation is all about. In any case, we dove down because it was hovering at about 1,000 feet. We had to come down from 35,000 to 1,000 feet. And in the excitement, we went through the red line of the aircraft. In other words, we went over the speed that you're supposed to go, and the whole plane started shaking, so we slowed down a little bit and turned on our radar sets. And I picked up the UFO out about 30 miles. Now, the interesting part of it was is that we used to fly over Scotland, the Firth of Forth Bridge, which is a railroad bridge about a mile long, which is a big steel bridge. Well, the radar return of this UFO looked just like this huge steel bridge.
So did you think that maybe there was some mistake?
No, I mean, we realized that the other crews had been chasing them, so we knew that there was, you know, some big UFOs out there. At least they showed up quite large on the radar.
So on your radar screen, this thing appeared to be about a mile long, huh?
Right. It's difficult to tell the exact, you know, length, but as a very large, solid radar return, at least like a large ship at sea, you know, very, very big. And off in the distance, this is at night, and we can see like a cruise ship or an aircraft carrier like you see at night at sea, mm-hmm. off in the distance. And as we closed on it, we're doing over 400 miles an hour, and we got about a mile away from it, and it's getting quite large. And all of a sudden, it just went straight up into space, very much like the shuttle launch that you sometimes see at night.
Uh-huh.
And
when you say it was like the shuttle launch, are you saying that it left a trail of light?
Right. Trail of lights going up into space. And let's put it this way. I was convinced that it was some kind of a spaceship, and that you know, there was something going on. And it's kind of funny, when we landed, nobody got too excited about it. And we'd talk about it with the other air crews and so on. But nobody came down and debriefed the squadron or anything. Well, we had what's called a dining in, which is where a couple hundred officers get together and they have dinner at the officers' club. And our guest speaker was Prince Philip. And Prince Philip gave a nice talk. And at the end of the talk, he said he would like to talk to the air crews that had chased UFOs. Which was a surprise to me that, you know, Prince Philip would know about this. So we sat down at the table with him, about 10 of us, and I told my story pretty much like I just told you. And asked Prince Philip, you know, why was so many words was he interested in, and did he believe in him? And he said yes, that he personally believed in him, that his uncle, Errol Mountbatten, had seen him up close. And that his uncle raised him, and he, of course, believed what his uncle said.
And did he elaborate on what he meant by up close?
No, he didn't. And, well, you know, I was a lieutenant, and here's, in a sense, the highest-ranking man in England, and I was a little... didn't think to ask him the question, actually. I read later that Errol Mountbatten apparently had sightings at sea. He was in the Navy, and I believe at one time the highest ranking admiral in the British Navy, and had a sighting at sea. And he also had apparently a sighting at his home, and at least the gardener and some of his staff had seen one. And there's some talk that he had a sighting in India as well. And rumors to the effect that they, you know, saw a crashed one in the Pacific. But I couldn't, you know, ever track that down and didn't have any, you know, firsthand information about it. But it is interesting that many high-ranking people that I've, you know, met through the years... It's not a question whether they exist, you know, it's a question of exactly who they are and what they're doing. But,
Now, did he, and by he I mean Prince Philip, did he seem bothered or troubled by the presence of these UFOs over England?
He just acted very, you know, interested in the subject and wanted to learn more and wanted to hear our stories, you know. Apparently he was, you might say, collecting information for his edification. And I understand that he's still interested, that he still, you know, gets various UFO publications. I hope he's listening or reading to some.
I was just going to say, well, you never know. He may be listening to this show. I actually, in roundabout ways, have gotten reports of various high-ranking people that listen to the show. And so who knows? Who knows?
I get emails from people who claim they're, you know, senators and... Nobel Prize winners and high-ranking scientific people. And the interesting thing is I come up with a lot of kind of far-out ideas, and no one ever says, you know, you're crazy. They say, you're right on, keep pushing it, that we in our positions can't push this information, but it needs to get out to the public.
I got an email from the Galactic Ambassador from Planet X one time. I did. Those of you who are watching, I've got my hand in the air. I did. but it is true that there are many, many high-ranking officials, heads of state, etc., that are very interested in this topic. And, George, that's one of the things that really surprises me. Not that they're interested, but that the media is so stupid about it. I mean, well, you know, here you've got Prince Philip seated at a table with you guys, talking with you about UFOs over England, and openly discussing the fact that there's not a question in his mind about their reality. And then you have the press trying to ridicule and poo-poo everybody, that everyone else, that says, hey, I saw something. That's just astounding.
You know, as an intelligence officer, I briefed, I'm just trying to give you an idea, approximately 10 years every morning, essentially very much like you see on the news, you know, only it's highly classified intelligence information and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, once a month or once every 2 months or something, some of our crews would report UFOs. And since I had seen one, I usually put it in my briefing to the generals. And I never had a general, you know, laugh me off stage or anything like that, but they all took it very seriously. That it was just more news, like, you know, we lost five people in Iraq today, or whatever it happened to be, you know, that I was reporting on.
Yeah.
And I'm also the in the Air Force Association, and I'm the CEO in New Jersey, and we have over 1,000 Air Force people, most of whom are officers, and most of them who had flown. And they, you know, they elected me president of New Jersey Air Force Association. The point being is that most of them had seen something, or, you know, or their friends had seen it. In other words, most of the people in the Air Force are well aware that these objects exist and are flying around. Now, we may not know if it's, you know, what exactly they are, and if they're from under the sea or another dimension, or, you know, from Mars or whatever, but I think most people accept the fact that they exist.
Well, I want to go back to that incident that you talked about, where you were in the airplane that dove on the UFO. whenever the air traffic controller, or whatever he is, however he is officially referred, but when the controller asked for your airplane to go and check on this UFO, what terminology was used? What was normal? Did they say UFO, or did they call it a bogey, or what?
I think they just said unidentified, you know, flying object.
Check on an unidentified flying object, all right.
Which gave us pretty much the idea that it was a UFO, you know.
Yeah, well, also, now, was this a saucer-shaped elliptical craft, or was it a cylindrical craft? How was it shaped?
It looked from a distance like it was a huge cigar-shaped object. But it may have been a disc, but we didn't see the... If you look at a disc from the side, you can't tell for sure if it's a disc.
Mm-hmm.
Any case, it looked, you know, more like a... like an aircraft carrier or something.
Okay, so when this thing was in the...
But we're seeing mostly lights. You couldn't see much of a structure, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, but it would have been... If it were cylindrical, it would have been hovering in a position parallel to the Earth's surface. Is that correct? It was not standing on end, right?
Yes, appeared to be.
When it took off towards space, did it take off still in that parallel position, or did it tilt upward so that it was in an upright position?
Well, all we could see basically is a bunch of lights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it wasn't clear, and you're all kind of excited, and it reminded me of launches that I've seen, you know, the shuttle since then. That like a lot of a light and mass going up, almost like a rocket type thing.
Mm-hmm. How fast did it go up?
Oh, it was up and out of sight in just, you know, a few seconds. I mean,
could you estimate its speed on your radar?
Oh, well, we were going over 400, and it was going, you know, 10, 20 times faster than we were.
Wow.
I mean, it was there. Well, when it was hovering, you know, you'd have the sweep of the radar.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, pick it up, we'll say, you know, a couple of miles closer each sweep of the radar. But when it went up, you know, it was there, you know, a mile or so away, and the next sweep it was gone. That, now it's, the radar also has like a plane that it looks at.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say at 1,000, 2,000 feet of airspace. But in any case, it's moving quite fast. At least to me, there was nothing on the face of the earth that I was aware of that flew that fast, you know, and that was that large. It was bigger than anything I'd ever seen in the air, and it was faster than anything I'd ever seen in the air. So I was pretty convinced that it was real. You know, and
now, as you think back on it and remember it, would you say that this thing was as large as a 747, or was it larger?
Well, it's difficult to tell distance at night, but the radar would indicate it was much larger. It was like, you know, like a large ship or a large bridge. You know, that's the radar return, and that's fairly accurate. In other words, in a lot of ways, it's more accurate than your own eyesight.
Are there recordings of these radar sweeps? Is that normal?
Well, we didn't do that, but that can be done today. As a matter of fact, it's being done.
Mm-hmm.
And without naming names, we're in contact with radar operators over in Philadelphia that are seeing craft flying over Philadelphia at 16,000 miles an hour.
16,000 miles an hour. Now that's booking it.
And they're, at the same time, they're picking up, you might say, the normal air traffic, which is, you know, 500-600 miles an hour going over Philadelphia or landing at the airport and so on. The point is that they are on the radars. Now, a lot of radars don't pick them up. The radar technically picks it up, but the computer eliminates, you might say, the real low, high, and high-speed objects, so that the radar operators, in effect, aren't confused by all this traffic.
Wait a minute. You're saying the computers are filtering it out to keep from confusing the air traffic controllers?
Well, somebody made that decision.
Uh-huh.
To filter a lot of this out. Now, some objects obviously are still seen, and the radar controllers, essentially both in the military and the government, are told when, you know, when an air crew calls and say, you know, we've got a UFO off on the 2 miles away on our right wing, they're told to say that it's not there, even if it's on radar, and to divert the aircraft away from the UFO. So a lot of times...
Now you're sure about that? You're sure they're under those orders?
I've been told this by several, both military and...
And civilian. Yeah.
Civilians.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Major George Filer. All right, just a quick reminder, the music that you hear on this show, for the most part, about 99% of it comes from the independent artist at GarageBand.com, so you can go over there and look up the song you heard that you like and download it. It's an absolutely wonderful service, GarageBand.com, and we appreciate them for making that music available to us. My guest this evening is George Filer, and we're talking about his experience as a serving member of the United States Air Force. He's retired now, but we're talking about his experiences with UFOs as he was serving in the U.S. Air Force.
George, you said that lots of folks in the Air Force pretty freely talk about having had these experiences, right?
Right. Many people have had sightings, you know, had them flying formation off their wings or doing barrel rolls around them, that sometimes they're, you might call it, quite friendly. I had some friends that have even, you know, chased them and down it right on the deck or up in space, and the best they could, not that their planes can actually go into space, but that they were flying fighters that could track them for long distances. But usually, if they want to get away, they can quite easily. They seem to have the ability to maneuver and have speed much greater than anything that we have.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, your publication is UFO intelligence publication. And your background is in the United States Air Force. So let me ask you about something that has to do with Air Force, but it isn't the United States Air Force. It has to do with the Romanian Air Force. And I'm pretty sure that you have heard about the defense minister there releasing not only the report, but video, the information and the video taken from one of their fighters, fighter jets' gun cameras, where UFOs, four UFOs, were playing tag with the airplane and actually collided with the airplane, causing damage to it. Have you heard about that?
Yes. I had that in my files a few weeks ago, and then when the research came out, and then I think it happened back in November or something.
October.
Report.
October. Yeah, October.
When it first happened. A MiG-21 in the Romanian Air Force was currently flying along, and apparently they, you know, hit one another in the sky and did damage to the front of the wing and to the cockpit of the aircraft.
Yeah.
And the pilot was hurt somewhat, but he was able to land the aircraft. And they freely admit that it appears to have been a UFO. You know, some countries are more free about that information than other countries, for whatever reason, or the news chooses to carry it where other countries don't, you know. I have noticed an uptick in the amount of coverage in the United States, and it seems to be getting better from what I can see.
Oh, I think so. You're talking about the media coverage getting better?
Right.
Uh-huh. I think so, and I think the catalyst was the O'Hare incident and the report that came out in the Chicago paper. It was just a straightforward report, no ha-ha, he-he, and no nonsensical stories. They just reported the facts. And it was so popular, they said they had more hits on that on their website than any story in the history of that paper. And I think that sent a signal to the rest of the media. But I've been saying for a long time, you know, their numbers just keep dropping. I mean, their numbers are in free fall, and their ratings. And you would think they could figure out that when you ridicule 80% of the people you're trying to get for customers, you're not going to do much business.
Well, I'm getting calls from several newspapers on a regular basis. That they're interested in the stories, and you might say some of the editors are catching on.
And, yeah.
You know, I was part of the Disclosure Project.
Uh-huh.
We went to Washington to speak, about 25 of us, and Edgar Mitchell was there and so on. And there are several hundred newsmen. They're reporters, and I talked to quite a few, and they said that they personally were interested in it. Now, this is in, you know, 2002, but their editors generally won't let them, you know, publish the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I've found that some of the, you might say, the reporters are now in positions of, you know, editors of certain sections and so on, that they're authorized to do that. And I think there's a realization that there's something to this story, that it should certainly be checked out. I mean, they publish all this information about global warming, which probably there is some global warming, but there's global warming on Mars and Saturn and all the other planets. So there's something going on in space that may have nothing to do with...
Well, you know, let me tell you something that I heard about global warming. I say I heard it. I read it in an email. Had not even thought about this. My position here has been that I think there is slim to no evidence that global warming is being caused by humans. But obviously, there's warming taking place. But I have said, nevertheless, the stuff that we pump into the air is killing us, and we should stop it. just for health reasons, but we can't expect that's going to stop global warming. And after I said that on the show, I got an email that had a very interesting thought, because I had also said in that show that global warming is happening on Mars 4 times faster than it's happening on Earth.
Those Martians are busy.
Well, here's the email I got. The email said, then whatever we're doing must be right, because it's protecting us from that fierce global warming that Mars is having.
Right.
I had not even thought about that, but that's a pretty good thought. Now, you've been involved not only, and we've been talking about the incident that where you personally were there. You were involved in this incident with a UFO. But you've been involved now, publishing Filer's Files for 10.5 years. Has anyone from the government ever contacted you and asked you to back off?
Not in so many words. They've told me that I was mistaken, that they weren't spaceships, that they were plasmas, and that our minds and even radar took these plasmas, which is something like ball lightning, and turned them into something that we understand. You know, it's a huge ship in the air, so you would naturally think of that as a spaceship. That's not what we really saw. We saw these plasmas. But nobody's really said, you know, stop and desist. But
okay, who was it that was telling you this? Are you at liberty to say?
Well, they were people in the government.
Okay.
Intelligence field.
All right, and they were encouraging you to without coming out and saying back off. It seemed to you that they were encouraging you to back off a little bit?
Right.
What did you say to them?
Well, I just said that I feel that I saw a spaceship, you know, that something not of this earth, and then I think the public should be aware of it. That I think the public, as I understand, you know, the I send my files to 5,000 people, and then my websites, you know, reach over the course of a year millions of people, and there are my files are on, I don't know, 50, 60 other websites that millions of people are seeing this, and to my knowledge, you know, nobody's committed suicide or anything. That, in other words, the people of the world can take it. That if you think about it, I feel they've been around for thousands, if not millions of years. Matter of fact, I've been exploring that somewhat, but that the writings in the Egyptian texts, you know, and religion,
uh-huh,
and the Torah, the Bible, Indian writings, Tibet, in Peru, and so on, all speak of various gods or visitors. Sometimes they're called watchers, or there's all various names, but they appear to be the ancient astronauts that visited us here. And not only did they claim in these various texts, which, when you think about it, are the most precious things that have been brought, you know, forward to us over thousands of years from these ancient civilizations, they say these people that were here came from space. And
hate to do it, we have to take a break. Don't hate to take the break, hate to have to cut you off. But we'll be back after this break. And I'm going to ask you about something that appeared in the DOD Buzz, Department of Defense Buzz. It's an email easing that comes out. Pretty interesting stuff. We'll be back. Thank you.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back. My guest is Major George Filer, retired U.S. Air Force.
By the way, I failed to say this in the beginning, and I want to be sure that I say it. Thank you for your years of service. We truly are in debt to you, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
It
was a lot of fun.
You enjoyed it, huh?
Well, yeah. I enjoyed flying, and we flew in for 3 months in Saudi Arabia, and flew right on the deck, you know, at a couple hundred feet, which is exhilarating. You know, it's like being on a roller coaster every day.
Oh, yeah.
Any case, a lot of times it was fun. A lot of times it was hard work, you know.
Well, I want to turn our attention to a story that appeared in the DOD Buzz. It's a publication that I get. It's a publication that comes from military.com. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
I've heard of it, but I don't.
Well, there's a very interesting article in this week's edition. I just got it today. And it's the spy radar satellites have been declassified. Now, I'll tell you why this is interesting after I read to you a paragraph from this. Anybody interested in UFO disclosure, I think this signals something, perhaps, about what we might could expect down the road with UFO disclosure. The article has nothing to do with UFO disclosure directly. But listen to this. It's the SAR systems, the radar satellite system. And it has been declassified. The decision became public on June 9th, sort of, but it was never announced by the NRO. The NRO did not publicize its decision to declassify. It just sort of, the information sort of got out there. Now, the reason... What was the reason that they decided to declassify? They didn't declassify the technology. They declassified the existence of that system. In other words, up until June the 9th, if you had directly asked, do you have a spy satellite system, a radar system, they could not tell you. It was classified. The fact that it existed was classified. So that's what has been declassified. Now, when asked, for what reason was it declassified? Listen to this. This is a quote now. Those of you who are interested in UFOs, get right up on the edge of your seat, put your ear right next to the speakers of your computer or radio. Here it is. The reason, this is a quote, the reason was a practical one. Number one, it was one of those not-so-secret secrets. Anyone who has paid attention to what we do at all knows we have radar satellites. So let's just quit trying to protect this information and wasting whatever resources get spent doing that. End quote. Here's why I think that's a pretty amazing thing. They said, in essence, we declassified that because it's costing us too much money to keep it secret. And everyone already knows, if they pay any attention to what we do, that we have a radar spy radar satellite system. So let's just quit spending all that money trying to keep it secret. That has some implications, I think, for UFO disclosure. Because everybody already knows they exist, except for professional debunkers who make their living appearing on Larry King Live. And, you know, they get a little money off of their books and their appearances, and they have that's their career. They debunk. Everybody else with two brain cells knows these things exist. There are literally miles and miles and miles of footage and film, and miles of tape testimony from eyewitnesses such as yourself. Very credible eyewitnesses. So everybody already knows. How much money is it costing our government to keep it an official secret? It's got to be enormous. And it's not really a secret. Everybody, man on the street knows. Everybody knows. What do you think about that? You think that this, with the spy satellite system being declassified, because it's just too expensive to officially keep it a secret, and everybody already knows we've got it. Do you think that that might have some impact on UFO disclosure?
Well, it might. I don't know if you've heard the stories that several Frenchmen claim that the United Nations is discussing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done a lot of shows on that.
Weeks, whether to make this all public.
Mm-hmm.
And in effect, in a sense, it's already public. I mean, with a number of shows and emails and websites and so on. So they may just be deciding to go along with that. Now, I don't know if that means that they'll let the public have any of the actual tapes. You know, we had plenty of rumors. I used to have some of my students work at Space Command, and they said that they had these, what do they call them? Well, UFOs, but they had a special name for them.
Fast walkers?
Unrecorded, fast walker was one of them.
Yeah.
But it meant that it wasn't in the computer. In other words, our computer keeps track of everything that goes around space, you know, where the shuttle goes and various debris and so on. And when some satellites are ready to fall, et cetera, they keep track of all that.
Yeah.
Well, some targets are uncorrelated. In other words, they're not in the computer, and they're moving through space, you know, on regular almost like coming in, appear to be coming in from space and going to bases under the sea or whatever, like off the coast of Florida and Argentina and so on, and seem to go into those general areas on a regular basis. And these uncorrelated targets a couple times a week are picked up, and they track them. Now, I doubt if they're going to give us that kind of information to the public, so to speak, to prove that a UFO, in effect, is out there.
I would not expect them to give us that level of information. But like this, the idea that, just the information that, yes, we have this spy satellite system, that was classified. And they said, it just cost us too much money, and everybody already knew we had it. So, we declassified it.
There's also the anti-missile system, and you need radar and so on to track the missiles being launched, whether they're from Iran or whatever, to shoot them down. And you know, there's kind of a tension building up around Iran and Israel, and the Iranians allegedly showed that they could hit Israel with missiles, and they're building, allegedly, you know, nuclear weapons. So they may be going to announce, you know, that Iran is doing things with missiles, and they got to uncover the fact that these satellites exist and that we can track various missiles and so on. I mean, Iran probably already knew that anyhow. You know, the military has lots of things that can be top secret. And today the president is talking about, you know, signing a bill that we can listen in on conversations, you know, anywhere in the world, and aircraft, this kind of thing.
But George, we're into a break. We'll have to continue that on the other side of this break.
All right, folks, we shall return with my guest, George Filer, Major George Filer, right after this.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Well, I thought I had that out of there. I got it out of there last night, but there it was again tonight.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
There it is. It's got gremlins. I took it out of there last night, but there it is.
Anyway, George Filer, Major George Filer, is my guest this evening, and we have a caller on hold, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Seattle, Washington.
Yes, Ryan.
First, I had a question, then I'll hang on for a comment afterwards.
All right.
Question is, since you started in the beginning with Filer's Files, what can you name one or two cases, part of your files that you included that maybe didn't get noticed as much that you personally thought were compelling and convincing and incredible that you one of your favorite file?
What about that, George?
Well, sounds funny, but back in 1999, a Chinese commercial jet claimed to have hit a UFO, and at least I thought it was important. And to my knowledge, you know, it really didn't come out worldwide, only in Chinese newspapers. And this Romanian crash, you might call it, was not really published worldwide, was only in the, you know, on the web and in a Romanian paper, to my knowledge. But there's a lot of cases like that that, you know, I feel should be international news when a UFO apparently hits aircraft.
What is one that you looked at and you said, wow, when you saw it? I guess that's the only question I have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan. Thanks.
Those are exciting to me. One thing that I was looking at a book of space, the Atlas of Space, and I happened to look at Peru, and from space, in other words, from a couple hundred miles up, a space shot of Peru, you could see the Nazca lines on the ground. And to me, that was very exciting, that Nazca lines, they feel, were made a couple thousand years ago, and that you can see at least two very straight lines seeming to point, you know, somewhere else from space, which 2,000 years ago, and maybe even 3,000 years ago. They don't know exactly when they were built. And the point is, when you walk on the ground, you can't even see them. But here you can see them in space, and can't have been able to see them for thousands of years, which would indicate to me that something was in space over Peru 2,000 years ago and was being given, you know, aerial directions to ancient cities in Peru, like Cusco. I think that to me was...
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. The Nazca lines have always fascinated me. All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Paul, New York. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well, Paul.
Major, I have a question for you. Have you ever had an incident with a pilot where they have been abducted by one of these ships and then let go, or an incident where a plane went missing and there was no evidence of any wreckage and it just disappeared?
Well, personally it hasn't happened to me, but I have talked to people who were in the command post when aircraft were being launched, you know, and chasing UFOs, and, for example, over Japan, Colonel Friend was telling me this story that two F-106s were launched out of Japan to intercept a UFO, and one had some kind of trouble and was staying back, and the first one went in on the attack and shot a missile at the UFO, which exploded, and the pilot said something in effect like direct hit. Oh, but it's coming after me, and with that, the pilot went off the air. And to my knowledge, that plane was never found. And not only that, as they send out search and rescue, the Japanese send out aircraft, and some of the, at least one of the search and rescue aircraft never returned. So there's a lot of obviously this kind of information is kept, you might say, secret. But we lost literally hundreds of aircraft, even thousands of aircraft in the 50s, when they had a policy of trying to down these aircraft. The figures are staggering. It's like we lost 1,800 aircraft in the Air Force, and almost that many in the Navy each year. Now, of course, these were
each
all kinds
year?
Of accidents.
Wow.
Each year, and you could... You can.
You said we lost 1,800 each year.
Yes, in the 50s, and
that is staggering.
That's when we were attempting to shoot these, you know, shoot them down. Now, how many were accidents, and how many were, actual. Cases of aircraft disappearance and so on. Now, in Filer's files this week, which you can read at UFOFiler.com, that's UFOFiler.com, it has a section from Timothy Good's book and a statement by General Benjamin Chitlaw, who was the former commanding general of the Air Defense Command. And he says, we have stack of reports of flying saucers. We take them very seriously. When you consider we have lost many men and planes trying to intercept them. 1952, the Air Force lost 2,274 aircraft. The Navy lost 2,086 aircraft. In 53 is over 2,000 for the Army and the, for the Air Force and Navy. 54, 1873.
That's more aircraft than we would lose if we were in war.
That's right. But maybe we were at war.
Well, maybe.
We weren't told it. Now, there's obviously a lot of these aircraft crashed, this kind of thing, but the point is that there's so many aircraft that were being lost, and these are official government figures, that easily intercepts of UFOs could be hidden. That's what's also not generally realized is that every base in the Air Force, or just about every base, had a UFO officer. They didn't have an angel officer, but they had a UFO officer. And that officer was authorized to launch aircraft to intercept UFOs. We had a very, strong policy at one time and took this all very seriously, and I think we lost enough aircraft and men that decided that that wasn't the way to go. Now, when I chased them in England, we didn't have any weapons on board the aircraft, so in a sense, we weren't a real threat. But
do you think they knew that?
Pardon me?
Do you think they knew that?
I think they know a lot more than we give them credit for. Now, in 1976, I was briefing some generals at the 21st Air Force. In the morning briefing on the F-4s launched out of Tehran, Iran, to intercept a UFO over Iran. And they went to fire their weapons on the UFO, and when they put the... they had the UFO on radar, and they were closing in on it and so on. And when they went to arm their weapons, their electrical system went off as far as the weapons were concerned. In other words, there seems to be a very advanced technology that they know what we're doing inside the cockpit of our aircraft. And these were F-4 aircraft which were built in the United States and sold to Iran.
All right, let's go back to the telephone for a moment. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, yeah, it's Kevin from Miracle Falls, Ontario. I tried calling it on Skype, but you had Skype turned off, I guess.
Yeah, we tried using Skype, and it created a lot of problems. So we've got to back up and punt. We got to find some other way to do it.
Oh, okay. George, are you familiar with Project Paperclip?
Yes.
Do you think that many of the UFOs that people have been seeing, especially flying saucers, are probably actually derived from the Project Paperclip, and they are actually just secret military vehicles that have been used as in some sort of disinformation campaign?
Well, there's some indication that Paperclip has to do with the Nazi or German scientists coming to the United States after the Second World War.
And
I went to the archives recently, and most of the paperclip information is still classified. So I don't know what exactly they did, but some of the things they were working on, because I had talked to some of the paperclip German scientists, were out at building the V-2 rocket and firing that and upgrading our missiles. Now, did they have any UFO project? Quite possibly the Germans had at least a disc-shaped aircraft that they were working on, and that probably was brought here along with a lot of other aircraft, such as ME-262, which, interestingly enough, our Air Victory Museum was building copies of the ME-262. The point is that the German Air Force had a lot of advanced aircraft. Most of them didn't, you know, fly, but they were working on them. And there's a good chance that some of the scientists in Paperclip did work on an aircraft that would, if seen by the public, would be called a UFO.
All right, Kevin, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-623-581-5148. If you would like to talk with Major Filer, that's the number to call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to make a comment and ask a question. First of all, I'd like to say, I asked a question about the, if you've done any research and come across any information doing with maybe some kind of deal we supposedly made with reptilians. And I'd like to say that if there's any kind of deal we made with aliens back in the 50s or 60s, it was probably something that they were going to do anyways, and we were just going through the formalities, and hopefully, you know, from our end, we might as well get something out of it. But have you come across any information about that, and possibly what we got out of the deal, what kind of new technologies we could have gotten from this deal we signed with, you know, whether it's the right side or the wrong side?
Well, most of the alleged deals were around President Eisenhower, and we tried to track down if any of those, you know, alleged deals between aliens and the government were true, and frankly talked to a lot of high-level people in the Eisenhower administration, and no one would admit or even heard of anything like that, that they felt that that was kind of fiction that people in the UFO community had come up with. But in another way, you'd expect them to deny it if, in fact, there was such a deal.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, my first name is Anthony.
Hello, Anthony.
Hi, I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
Well, we got to do a little applause here for you. All right, there's you some applause. I'm glad you called. What's on your mind this evening?
I was just wondering if Mr. Filer had any opinion on the current Iraq war and if any of it has to do with UFO information.
All right, before we answer that, let me tell you that we steer clear of anything that can be political. Now, if it's connected, okay. But
yeah, no,
if it's connected to UFOs,
yes,
that's
yes,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's, I don't care about the war itself. I was just wondering if the war had anything to do with the, you know how sensitive that area is in the world for UFO the history of, you know.
Yeah, well, let's find out. George, what about that? Is there any UFO connections to this Iraq conflict that's going on?
Well, I don't personally think that's why we went there, but I do get reports from, some of our soldiers stationed in Iraq of seeing UFOs over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we get reports from Iran that they claim that they see UFOs on a regular basis, although they claim that at least some of them are probably, American UAVs, these aircraft without pilots in them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, they may be. However, I have to tell you, if I were in the shoes of the Iranian president right at this time, I'd be telling my people anything and everything except the truth about what's up above us. If the Iranian people ever learn the truth about what is up above them, I don't think he could remain in power.
Yeah, well, I used to fly into Iran when we were friendly there, and uh-huh. Even then we would get UFO reports.
The UFO report that you were talking about in Iran, where the firing systems went dead. That's one of the best attested UFO incidents on the planet. I mean, the whole city saw the UFO, if it's the same one that I'm thinking
right,
of.
Right, right.
Yeah.
There's pilots saw it, and there are large numbers of people saw it.
All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
How you doing? Did you get my email?
Man, I don't know.
Oh, it's about that, what I talked about last night. I'm still, I talked to just about you before about, it surprises me that we're able to shoot these things down when you hear how they can just take off and take control of airplanes and shut down our nuclear missiles and do all this stuff, and yet these things still crash. That just amazes me. I still can't grasp that.
All right. Let me ask you to reach over and turn the volume down because we can hear me in the background in delay.
Okay.
All right. George, what about that? They are supposed to have this superior technology, and yet sometimes, apparently, we have shot them down.
Well, I'm personally not aware of us ever shooting one down, but, apparently there's been efforts to shoot them down, and my information has always been that it was unsuccessful. However, any object that flies can have, various problems involved with the aircraft. You know, our planes crash themselves once in a while, or your car stops working or won't start or whatever. And there's many stories of them being seen on the ground and apparently doing repairs. Various things that they're working on, maybe they've been damaged or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say exactly, but they do seem to have a excellent technology, but I think anything can break once in a while, you know, particularly if you're involved in a thunderstorm or, you know, make a rough landing or whatever. It's hard to say what. And they're frequently seen over nuclear power plants. We just had several sightings at Limerick Nuclear Power Plant and just outside of Philadelphia, and in other power plants in Toronto and so on, and over the electric power lines. So it indicates that they're probably taking electrical energy on board these craft. Now, they may have...
Recharging their batteries, huh?
Right, working with batteries or whatever. And in other words, they may run out of energy that whatever operates them. We've, you know, we've tracked them with our aircraft that pick up things like missiles and energy and so on. We know that they have energy on board equivalent to like a small power plant, so that they appear to run on electromagnetic energy. Consequently, that could run down in some way. We're assuming that they're coming from, you know, other planets here, and this is kind of an oasis in space, and they apparently pick up this energy and go on somewhere else. Now, we don't know exactly how they operate, but we're just surmising.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. Dave from Michigan.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good.
Major Filer, I was wondering if you've ever heard, you hear stories all the time about the Germans and World War II and UFOs, but I don't remember ever reading anything about the Japanese ever finding anything or reporting anything, or, you know, you hear about American flyers always seeing stuff, but have you ever heard anything about, on the Japanese side, if they ever seen anything or captured anything or anything like that?
Well, everyone who was in the World War II, as I understand it, saw the Foo Fighters. That there's reports from, you know, the Japanese as well as our pilots, also in China and Tibet and so on. You know, the Flying Tigers and that whole group. I've talked to several of them personally that claim they saw them. One fellow claimed that he was shot down in Tibet, and on the ground they told him that there was a UFO base not far from there, and, you know, kind of like pointed it out to him. But they felt that...
when was this supposed to have happened, George?
During World War II.
The reason I ask is because there have been a lot of reports coming out of that area of the world, that the border there, the Himalayan area of China, where it borders with Tibet and India, is that there is a UFO base there, that China knows it, and that it's a restricted travel area.
Well, the report I had went back to World War II, and that's what they were saying back then, and that he had seen a UFO way back then, a disc, and there's been reports out of India fairly recently that they're seeing them in that same general area.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, now there's a newspaper over there that their online version, I read it sometimes, it's called India Daily. And some people just poo-poo the whole thing because they say that's kind of a tabloid-type newspaper. But, you know, I've read things in there that I thought, when I read them, I thought, nah, can't be. And within, you know, a week, 2 weeks, something like that, we start seeing it being reported in the news over here. And by George, it was true.
You know, Jeff Challander, he was crippled and spent most of his recent life in bed. Well, he watched all the NASA downloads from the shuttle.
Yeah.
And he got very expert at determining, you know, when the NASA TV cameras were tracking UFOs. But that was one of the areas that he saw a lot of indications that there were UFOs, you know, moving in and out of the atmosphere into the mountains.
Around Tibet?
Right. I mean, it makes sense to have a base in that particular area that, you know, it's very difficult to get to and so on.
Well, it is that.
And then there's all frequently the stories of the, you know, Sasquatch and so on, which we have a lot of first-hand reports of UFO landings and then Sasquatch or, you know, Bigfoot seen shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, they may or may not be connected, but there's indications they are.
All right, George, we have to take a break. Let me ask the caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
All right, hang on. We'll get to you first thing right after this break. More with my guest, Major George Feiler. I told you this was going to be good. We'll be back.
All right, we are back. My guest is Major George Filer,
and we have a caller online. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. I'm Gregory from Vermont.
Gregory from Vermont, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am, Kevin. Actually, I'm a big fan of your show and the Omega J show there on Ustream, and I appreciate you taking my call this evening.
Oh, you're certainly welcome, but I got to give you some applause there.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. What's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, as most of us saw today, and there's a guy on the line with me here from WABC, Channel 7 in San Francisco, the Quintano Media scandal, which ties closely to what you guys are talking about tonight. I don't know if you've heard of that or if you saw that on Ustream earlier today.
No, I did not. I have to confess, my schedule is so tightly packed that I seldom have opportunity to watch TV or listen to radio. I don't even get to listen to my show.
Oh, okay, I got you. Well, absolutely. PC Easy, are you still there?
Yeah, I am, Greg. You know, what happened earlier today is Quintano Media had baked a chocolate cake for Dystopia earlier today. And from our understanding, Quintano Media has eaten.
We lost him.
It breaks me up. I'm sorry. He ate the entire cake, and he left none for anybody else. The only person we know who actually ate the cake was Brookers, and we know that.
And
sorry,
Kevin,
it just breaks me up. This is the chocolate on her teeth. That's really what we know. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we got some odd audio. Okay, well, I'm glad somebody was able to eat chocolate cake today. George, you just never know. You never know. All right. The telephone number is area code, well, it's 1-623-581-5148. There it is coming up on your screen for those of you who are watching. 1-623-581-5148. George, here lately, we've been getting a whole bunch, I mean a lot of UFO reports out of the UK. It seems like that there is an increase of activity. At least it seems that way to me. I'd like to get your take on that. What do you think? Is it increasing over there?
Well, it may be, but the UK government is releasing a large number of UFO reports, and many of them are being carried in the, you know, local newspapers, and a lot of them are excellent reports, you know, by police and the military and so on.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, one, if you call the newspaper, you know, with a report that they're printing it, and where they probably didn't in the past. You know, I've called newspapers and said, you know, we've got UFOs flying over, you know, Medford or whatever. And they say, well, don't bother us. We get those reports all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're taking more of an interest. And then, of course, there might, in fact, be more reports. None of them seemed, you know, real spectacular. That at least the ones that I've seen, that, you know, there are a lot of lights and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know something? And caller, just hang on. I'll be with you in just a second. I'll tell you, I don't put a lot of confidence even in official documents that talk about the people saw lights. And here's why. In Mexico, the Mexican Air Force, using FLIR, which is forward-looking infrared, videotaped some UFOs around their plane. Now, 11 UFOs. They couldn't see them with their eyes. They were getting radar contact, but they couldn't see them. So they turned the FLIR on, and FLIR picked up the infrared signature of these UFOs. The news media here, to this day, still talks about, when they talk about this, they talk about the Mexican Air Force videotaping some bright lights in the sky. So, you know, when I hear stories like that, I figure that whoever's writing the report, there's about at least a 20% chance that they're doing some of that obfuscation. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Did you eat chocolate cake today?
Man, I heard that. I don't know what that was all about.
I don't either, but whoever it was feels like they scored. That's a little audio graffiti.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Major Filer, I visit your website several times a week, and I think it was on Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project DVDs. I heard you talk about a Air Force base where a UFO actually landed and an extraterrestrial got out of the craft and was shot by one of the MPs. Can you tell us about this story?
Well, I went into work at the command post early in the morning on January 18th, 1978, and I was told that an MP in the Army at Fort Dix, which is next to McGuire, had in fact shot an alien. And I said, you know, like somebody from South America or something. They said, no, an alien from space. I said, what? You know, even though I had seen UFOs, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, an alien was actually landing and running around, you know, Fort Dix and so on. But they treated it as a serious story that there was an alien there and that apparently it had been shot and was picked up and taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, that where most aliens and, you know, that kind of stuff goes. I didn't see it, but I heard it from several people, and since then people have told me about it, that they had heard the story. I'd actually like to talk to anybody who knows more about it.
All right, but now let me make sure that I understand. You were stationed at Fort Dix, is that right?
No, I was stationed at McGuire Air Force Base.
Okay, so but when you went to work at McGuire, you were told that morning about the incident at Fort Dix.
Right.
And it was told to you as fully the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I called the air police, and they said that that's what they understood.
And when you say you called their place, you mean you called Fort Dix?
No, I called our own security police in the Air Force.
Oh, you called your police, yeah.
Right.
Okay. And they say, they told you that that is what they understood.
Right. That the story was that the alien had been shot on the Army base.
Uh-huh.
And ran through or over the fence and was found on the Air Force base. Now, people may not be aware, but the Navy Lakehurst, Fort Dix Army base, and McGuire Air Force Base are like one huge base, but there's fences between them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all like in the central New Jersey, and it's like one of the only bases in the country that has all three services.
Was this shooting fatal?
Yes, I understand it was. Yes, but I talked to a military policeman who claimed to have guarded it, but even though it was, you know, it's a cold night, middle of the night, he's 30 feet away from the body, but it's really covered, so he couldn't even say for certain what it was. But but he was told that it was an alien, but he wasn't allowed to go the 30 feet and examine it, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And if you have a question for Major Filer, this is a great opportunity for you. 623-581-5148. Were you able to find out additional details or additional information about that incident?
Not much, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kept, highly classified. And frankly, anybody who guarded the bodies and everything were all transferred out within a couple of days.
That seems, we hear a lot about that. That seems to be a standard operating procedure, is it?
Apparently, at least I had a friend who I went to high school with that went to the Navy Academy, and he was on board a submarine that saw one. And in any case, they transferred most of the crew.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this break. We'll be on Final Approach, and if you have been planning to call in, you'd better get to your phone. We'll be back.
Never seen a bird
All right, we are back, and we have just a few minutes left with our guest, George Filer. Let me remind you, if you have not done so, be sure you get over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Let me also encourage you to join our members area, because in the members area, that's where all of the shows go. One per week is put out as a free podcast, but all of them go into the K-Pods in our members area. And you can download them to your computer, to your iPod, or whatever other device you're using to listen to them. And, you know, you really can't beat it. You get the K-Pods, you get the monthly magazine, you get the forums, you get the chat, you get the library that has downloadable e-books free of charge for you. You need to be a member. All right.
I also want to tell folks about Filer's Files and how they can subscribe. So you've mentioned it, but let's go into detail just a little bit. And folks, if you're only going to subscribe to one UFO newsletter, this is the one. This is the one. All right. Although, I'm not saying you should unsubscribe from any of the others, okay? But this is it's the cream of the crop. It's called Filer's Files. And how do they subscribe, George?
Well, they can just go to ufofiler.com and they can subscribe right on there.
All right. And is it free or does it cost?
Well, technically, it's free, but I'm encouraging people to, you know, make donations and to subscribe so that we can, you know, send him an email on what's happening weekly. And, well, it takes all my time each week and effort, and we're making a lot of contacts and webmasters and all those kind of things that cost money. In order for us to continue, we need some help.
Yep, it's not cheap, is it?
No.
And it's definitely not free. And that's very important for folks to understand that. A lot of sites offer a lot of things for free. Mine does, yours does. But you have to understand that someone has to pay for that. And in the UFO field, the someone is usually the guy at the top, like you, and it comes out of your pocket. So if you can, as you subscribe to Filer's Files, you certainly want to support his work financially if you can.
One thing I'd like to mention is the Air Force Academy, the physics book, is the Environmental Space Sciences, which has a chapter about UFOs, or used to. And a friend of mine who wrote it, Colonel Carpenter, says in effect that, you know, this is one of the most important endeavors of mankind, but it's obvious that intensive scientific study is needed in this area. No such study has yet been undertaken. One thing that must be guarded against in any such study is the trap of assuming that our knowledge of physics or any other branch of science is complete. In effect, if UFOs are here, much of what we know about physics and biology and so on is basically wrong, and that we have to come up with a new physics to understand what's happening. And that's one of the reasons why there's a lot of people, you might say, against this, because new thinking has to be involved. For example, if we've been visited for thousands of years, the whole concept of, creation is probably true, that they probably came here and did, in fact, set up Earth as kind of a farm and develop us and so on. We're thinking of doing the same thing on Mars. So any advanced technology that has the ability to travel between planets is quite likely to take a planet that is, you know, fairly barren and make it the atmosphere better and put plants on it and animals and the like, and even develop mankind. Most people don't realize, but there's a new book out about the development of mankind itself, essentially about Eve and where it first started. And they now believe that man, the humans, first developed around Johannesburg, South Africa. The book is called In the Footprints of Eve. Interestingly enough, Johannesburg is the center for the development of gold mines. Some 30% of all the gold ever mined is from Johannesburg. Now, isn't it strange that the first man developed was in this particular place? I'm just saying that that seems like too big a coincidence that points to a creator.
Well, of course, you know, we know from the work of Zachariah Sitchin, the stories about the Anunnaki and the fact that the Sumerians say that the Anunnaki engineered us for the purpose of mining gold. And we were supposed to be a worker race to mine gold for the Anunnaki. And, you know, that fits very neatly with what you just told us.
Right, and it, and these are in the, you know, the ancient texts and so on. I believe, frankly, in the Bible and many of these ancient texts that, you know, it was the best information that they had at that time that they passed on to us. And from all over the world, we get almost the same story, that we were visited by, you know, the ancient astronauts, and they helped mankind, who at the time, you know, was our greatest technology was a flint spear, you know, scraping stones together.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly we were building, you know, huge pyramids and towers and Babylon and the like. In other words, it just doesn't make sense that we had all this capability. Not only could we build these tremendous structures, we could write and tell these wonderful stories, where cavemen obviously didn't have the ability to read or write. And all of a sudden we have great stories and great information, and a whole civilization is being developed. I suggest that we are being visited and given this information.
You know, it is an odd thing that we went from being slugs to being Homo sapien, and by slug I mean mentally slugs. George, we are out of time, and or we're about to be, and I want you, first of all, I want to thank you for being on the show with me this evening, but I want you to give your web address again.
Yes, simply www.ufofiler.com. Filer spelled F-I-L-E-R.
All right, and thank you for being with us. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment, and as I close the show, I want to talk with you further for just a moment.
Wow. You know, You hear me say it all the time. If you miss a single second of any Kevin Smith show, you're going to miss a whole universe of information. And there's living proof right there. George Filer, Major George Filer, has just done a tremendous, tremendous amount of work in getting the stories out to us, to you and to me. Be sure you visit his website and support his work if you can. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow. So long, everybody.